Ersatz Radio.
Hello, I'm Son 4.
Yes, you are, and welcome to a very special episode of the Papa Big Show.
With me, Son 4.
And me, Papa Big.
There you go.
What are we doing this week?
Things.
Let's join this fella.
I've begun, I'm the co-host of very first son. I'm someone's son's son, and I live in the sun. Spitting hot fire like from out of a gun. You better run to your radio and turn it on. We're the Papa Big's crew, we do radio for fun. My rappers cause are poor, but I picked a good drum. Are you stunned? The number of dams we give it equal to none. The introduction's done. Cause my name is Son One.
Yes, it's me, Son One.
No, that's not right.
You're someone.
I'm someone.
I'm
Hello.
Papa Big. So welcome to the Papa Big Show here on ersatzradio.co.uk. We've got lots of things coming up, haven't we?
Mm-hmm. We've got trailers where we... Oh, no, we
no,
don't.
No, we don't. No, we're,
no, we're not doing week. Trailers.
There's not enough out.
No.
So we're doing real stuff.
We're doing music where we listen to music.
We'll play some top tunes because this is ersatz Radio, home of top tunes.
And we'll, of course, be doing our usual feature, what we're watching, reading, where we look at what we've been watching and what we've been reading in the past week.
And we shall have some film news. Ooh. Where we have news about films.
Sometimes TV.
Or news-related films. No, that's not right, is it? Not news-related films.
Like,
film-related
like
news.
Like The Post.
We talk about the Post, newsroom, that kind of thing. So that's why we're coming up to today's show. And if you want to get in contact with us, well, you just need to do these sorts of things, don't you?
You can get in contact with us at Big's Papa on Twitter, The Papa Big Show on Facebook, SoundCloud, YouTube and Pinterest, at ersatz Radio on Twitter, ersatz Radio on Facebook, SoundCloud and YouTube, ersatzradio.co.uk and cafepress.co.uk/ersatzradio.
That was Emily Ants with their spaghetti western vibed Los Rancheros. What have we got?
What have we read?
What have we been watching?
What have been reading? What have been watching? What have been watching? What have been reading? What have been reading? What have been watching? What you've been watching, what you've been reading, what you've been watching.
Cowabunga, it's what we've been watching and what we've been reading, where we look at what we've been watching and what we've been reading. And it's an extra special jam-packed edition because...
7 days of sheer entertainment.
Mm, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Of consummation of visual and literary extravaganza.
Yes.
That's right. So what have you been reading this week?
What have I been reading?
That's what I said.
Well, we popped on down to the old comic shop.
Did we?
Yeah.
When did we do that?
Don't remember.
Okay.
Recently. In the last week, in the last 7 days,
okay.
Of course.
Right.
And I got this because it was £1.50.
Wow.
And because... Wow.
Yeah.
That was a pun. I see what you did there.
Yeah.
So this is Uncanny Avengers Annual 1. So you know what an annual is. Everyone knows what an annual
That's
is.
That's right.
It's a one-off thing.
Every month, doesn't it?
Every single month.
Yeah.
And I've got the first like 20 or so issues of this series. And it's like an X-Men Avengers crossover. So I thought I'd see if this was okay. And to like kind of round out the collection. And it was rubbish.
All right.
Terrible. So
what does VFNM mean?
Very fine / near mint.
Oh, right. So that's just the quality of it.
Yes.
I see.
Of this one image.
So, because it was attached to the word Marvel, I thought it had something to do with it.
No, it's not.
Category of Marvel. Okay.
So this is about...
So why was it rubbish? What was it?
So there's two teams of Avengers. One of them, they're like in the late 40s, teaming up and fighting Nazis with magic powers. And then it's the present day Avengers, like reminiscing. So in the past, you've got Captain America and then three magic
guys.
Well,
it took me a second glance to realise that there was Captain America on the front cover.
That old guy.
Because the way he's old, mm-hmm. And the way his insignia on his chest is half covered up, I thought it was Punisher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's Captain America. He got old.
That happens.
Yeah, he got his super soldier serum removed and he was old for a while. He got better. As you do. And then Quicksilver's in it, but he's not in the past story. Whizzer, who is the worst superhero. He's got a yellow costume with a giant blue W on it, and he's got wings like on his hat, like Captain America does, but they're bigger. He's terrible.
Oh, yeah.
And there's three magic guys, and
is that their name? The three magic guys.
I don't know. I can't remember their names. I don't know.
Doctor Strange-y type people.
Yeah, and you've got Brother Voodoo in this as well.
That sounds a bit
racist.
He's
the only one I know. He's all right, but he's in the present day story. And the past story, it's like half and half. But the past story set in the 40s is mostly just exposition.
Right.
And then the present story, half of it is them going, oh, I haven't seen you since the late 40s. What are we going to do? What's our plan of attack? And then there's about, it's about 30 pages, I think. There's only about 6 pages of the actual battle between these people. And it's really badly paced. There's no dialogue. So you read through that bit really quickly because there's no dialogue.
Mm.
And then there's like 7 pages at the end of, oh, that was a tough battle. There's more of the epilogue than the actual battle. So it's terribly paced. It's a really small team, and there's none of the actual X-Men characters on it, which makes it the Uncanny Avengers. So it doesn't even fit in with the rest of the series.
Okay.
It's got a different writer, some guy called Robinson.
Do you know the first name?
James, maybe.
Okay.
And I didn't enjoy it, and I don't recommend it.
All right, then. Jolly good. Well
yeah.
done.
What did you read?
Oh, I've been reading a biography. Well, a biography of sorts. You know, I like to mix it up between me fiction and non-fiction, and that fiction, non-fiction is usually film-related. This is a biography of actor and producer Warren Beatty, or Beatty, however I'm pronouncing his name.
Probably Beatty.
And it's by David Thompson, and it's an interesting book because it's not just a biography written by David Thompson. It runs, it's two stories. One is a kind of half-assed attempt at a biography because he doesn't really, he kind of says, I imagine, or I'll surmise, or that probably happened.
That's not good.
So it's kind of lazy research.
Yeah.
And alongside it, parallel to it, is a fictional story about an actor, which he's kind of using to say, this is probably what happened,
that
and this is
rubbish.
Probably what it is, but for litigation purposes, I've got to make it fictional. So it is, it's really quite, I don't like it at all. I'm going to persevere, I'm going to read it, but I think I'm getting to the point now where I'm just going to read the biography part and not the fiction part, which is rubbish.
So does it like alternate between the two parts?
Yeah, yeah, it's chapters. It's
That's really, weird.
It's stupid.
Why
it
would
doesn't
you
work.
Write a biography about someone if the information isn't there?
I don't know. It's as if he, you know, just didn't have the right. He just didn't do the research. He just couldn't be bothered. He just thought, I'll just make something up instead. And it is more about the author than about Warren Beatty. So it's a bit rubbish. It needs to be a fictional story. Just write that. Or just do a proper biography. It's annoying, and but I will persevere. I'll get through it, and then I'll start something else. So that's what I've been reading
this
week.
Weird.
Yeah. So what have you been watching?
Well, we've been watching a lot this week.
Mm.
We've watched two things together. You've watched one thing alone.
And you watched one thing
and
alone.
I've watched
well, let's
one
do
thing
the let's do the two together ones, and then
okay.
a little bit of music.
Okay. So we both went to the cinema.
That's right.
Along with Mama Biggs
and
Son Two.
Yeah.
To watch Spider-Man Far From Home.
Oh, yeah, the new Spidey film.
Yeah. You could have guessed that.
Yep, so this is obviously part of the Marvel canon and the sequel to Spider-Man Homecoming.
Mm-hmm.
Nice to get that right. And it follows on after the end game. And so spoilers for anybody who's listening who hasn't seen Endgame. Surely you must have by now, for
But we
God's
won't be
sakes.
Spoiling this. We will not spoil
no,
Spider-Man
no, 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 no.
Far From
but
Home.
So obviously he's coming to terms, his young Peter Parker, with all the events that happen in Endgame. Mm-hmm. And he just wants to get on with his life. He just wants to be a normal teenager. He just wants to chat up MJ and hang out with his mates and go on a school trip to Europe. That's what he wants to do. But Nick Fury has having none of it, and he wants to drag him in and save the world from the Elementals. Who are the Elementals?
There's a fire guy, water guy, there's a earth guy, and a wind guy. You could have figured that out.
I know, but are they comic characters, or have they just been made up for the film?
They are the comic characters, but they're completely different. In the comics, they're sentient. They actually can speak. They're normal humans.
Right.
I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
I'm not really familiar with them.
Okay, but so, we have Jake Gyllenhaal in here as Mysterio, and he was very good.
Yeah, he's a companion of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Who is
allegedly
like
from a alternate universe.
Yeah.
On alternate Earth, come to help save this Earth from the elementals.
Mm-hmm. So, so there's more than one superhero in it, but I felt like it was still focused on Spider-Man enough.
Yeah.
Rather than Mysterio, who's the other hero in here.
And he's a likable enough little chap, isn't he? Is Mr. Tom
Jake
Holland?
Gyllenhaal.
That's right. And his friends. And I like the humour in it, and I certainly like the very start.
Yeah, it starts off
with I Will Always Love You by what's her face, Whitney Houston, and I'm thinking, what now, why is this on? And it was a brilliant Mickey take, wasn't it, mm-hmm. of that sort of really naff video,
yeah,
with pixelated rubbish memes and things.
Yeah, it's much like the other film.
Yeah.
I do like the teachers in this.
Yeah, they're in quite a lot as well, aren't they?
Yeah,
they're too good. Yeah,
Mr. Harrington, he's very funny. He was funny in the first one as well.
Yeah, he was.
The action's very well done. It's well choreographed, and there's lots of interesting set pieces and stuff.
Yeah, and some twists and turns, and of course it has two post-credit sequences, which if you haven't seen it, you need to watch
them. Just for those.
Yeah, you need to watch them because one sets up the next film.
And
the other one gives you a huge twist of the one you've just watched.
Yeah.
So there you go. Make sure you watch both of those. So we both like that.
Mm-hmm.
We'll give it a thumbs up.
Yeah,
we'll
recommend
doing that.
And of course, okay. John Favreau's in it.
Yes.
Can't go wrong with John Favreau.
You're John Favreau.
That's terrible.
So what was the other one we watched together?
This wasn't at the cinema. This was in the comfort of our own home, projected onto a wall. This is The Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou.
Zissou. That's right.
Wes Anderson film.
That's right. From 2004. I didn't realise it was so old. There you go.
I didn't realise it was so old.
This is mid-Wes Anderson. Of course it stars Bill Murray, along with
lots of other familiar
faces. Owen Wilson, Cate Blanchett, Angelica Houston, Willem Dafoe, Michael Gambon. What's his face? Jeff Goldblum. How could I forget Jeff Goldblum?
Mm-hmm.
Marvellous.
It's a big cast, and it's about kind of like Blue Peter, but with wildlife.
It is.
Children's.
Well, I informed you of what it is actually based on. 1970s legendary frogman Jacques Cousteau,
mm-hmm.
and his adventures and his documentary films that he made in the 70s.
Yeah, so you've got a group of documentary filmmakers for children, I assume, like National Geographic or something.
That kind of thing. Not necessarily for children, no, but for families, family audiences.
Yeah, Team Zissou. There's a bunch of they go out at sea and find whales and sharks and stuff, and they're kind of going downhill. They're not
That's
as popular
right.
as they used to be.
But of course, this is a Wes Anderson film, so it is rather
surreal.
Yeah. So the animals aren't realistic in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
They're
stop
crazy
motion.
Stop motion made up animals as well. They're all completely invented just for the sake of the film,
mm-hmm.
which is great. It just adds to the surrealness. But there's a complicated matter when Owen Wilson turns up as Ned, who claims to be Steve Zissou, played by Bill Murray, of course,
his son,
long lost son.
And of course, they have to take revenge
on the jaguar shark,
who killed his best friend.
That's right. So there you go. It is a comedy. It is very much the idiosyncratic Wes Anderson. And has all those Wes Anderson traits.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked it very much.
Me
I've
too.
Seen it many times. I think I've seen it about four or five times.
It's the first time I've seen it.
And you liked it. Sun 2 did not. Sun 2 lasted about half an hour.
Yeah.
And then he wandered off.
It's just boring.
Pointless. Okay. Which is interesting because he's got kind of a 50-50 strike rate with Wes Anderson, hasn't he?
Yeah.
So he liked Isle of Dogs and he liked Grand Budapest Hotel.
Hotel Budapest.
Hotel Budapest. Grand Budapest Hotel. But he hasn't liked this one and he didn't like Royal Tenenbaums either, did he?
I think we've seen a few more, haven't we?
Moonrise Kingdom. You both like that one, didn't you? Yeah. You
Fantastic
both like
that Mr. one. Fox.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I've liked all of them. There's none of them that I've disliked. Mm.
There's only one, which I haven't seen, and that's his very first one, which is Bottle Rocket. And there's only one I don't particularly care for, and that's the Darjeeling Limited.
Mm. I haven't seen either of those either.
No. Okay.
There's the one with Sam Rockwell as well that I haven't seen.
The one with Sam Rockwell?
No, not Sam Rockwell. Someone else. It's got someone else. It's got someone in it.
Okay, someone. Bring up his.
Rushmore.
Rushmore. Oh, right.
I've seen that.
Right, yeah, well, I have seen that, and that's good. That's good too.
Is he working on anything at the moment?
Probably. Let's see if it says on IMDb. The Rosenthal Suite is writing. So go down, scroll down to director. Yeah. The French Dispatch. Hmm. Click on it. Is it a feature or is it a short? Because he sometimes does some shorts, you know.
It looks like it's a feature.
Jolly good.
With Saoirse Ronan, Elizabeth Moss.
Tilda Swinton, of course. Christoph Waltz, Kate Winslet.
Wait, look at that. Bill Murray's in it.
Bill Murray, what a surprise. Benicio del Toro. Owen Wilson's in it. What a surprise. Willem Dafoe's in it. What a surprise. Adrian Brody. Francis McDormand. Excellent. Jeffrey Wright, my goodness me.
Well,
it's an even
great.
bigger cast. Is there a synopsis at all?
Reported to be set in France after World War II.
And that's it. Okay, brilliant. Okay. I look forward to that out in 2020. Great.
Yeah. Let's have some
pleasant
music.
Yeah. I was the Monkees with Pleasant Valley Sunday.
We're 2/3 of the way through what we're watching and what we're reading. We're looking at what we've been watching and what we've been reading.
Here on the Papa Big Show on SSRadio.co.uk.
So we've got two films left, one that you watched, one that I watched. What was the one that you watched?
So I met with an old friend of mine, Mr. Chris Stanley, and we arranged to go and see a feature-length documentary that celebrates the 50-year anniversary of the moon landings. It is Apollo 11. It is a documentary because it's obviously factual, despite what the naysayers say.
I was about to say, yeah it's fake.
But it's not a traditional documentary with talking heads and voiceovers. It's as if it's actually happening. So it's a sequence of events with the actual footage. And a lot of it has not been released before, and the stuff that has been released before has been tidied up, and it was shot on 60mm film, so it works really, really well on the big screen. And of course, it's epic anyway, and it is incredible. It's absolutely incredible, and it's pieces it together really beautifully to tell the actual full story, because you forget how incredibly complicated it is. Whenever you see documentaries and that on it, it's just like, oh, there's the launch and there's the landing, but everything in between, the process was so complex, which is why, you know, it just annoys me when people start going on about, oh, it's fake, Stanley Kubrick filmed it in a studio. Shut up, stupid people, stupid conspiracy theories. I've researched it. I've done loads of research on YouTube. I found out loads of stuff.
Wikipedia.
Yeah, well done. Well done, you. Yeah, all these scientists are lying. Yes, because that's what they do. The hundreds of thousands of people that have been involved in it have all been in this strange conspiracy, all keeping their mouths shut for 50 years. Of course, that's really credible. Anyway, I watched Apollo 11 and it's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, you kind of went
go
off on a
and
bit of
see opinion. It. Yes, what did you go and watch on your own?
Not on my own.
Oh.
But with some too.
Okay.
Not that sad.
No.
We went to see, at the exact same time you were watching your space film.
Yeah.
They went to space. Yeah, everyone knows that. Happened 50 years ago.
So you watched the far more important, mm-hmm. historically.
Mm-hmm. Toy Story 4.
Yeah.
It's about Woody and the gang. You got Buzz. You got Bo Peep back. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you got some new characters along for the ride, such as the Forky. He's a fork. He's a blue fork.
Is he not Sporky?
No, he's Forky. I did think that, though. He does look like a spork.
Oh.
He looks like more of a spork than a fork. He should have been called Sporky.
Would have been a better name as well, really, wouldn't it?
Hmm. Maybe.
I think, how is, I know Keanu Reeves has been getting good notices as Duke Nukem.
Duke Kaboom.
Duke Kaboom. Oh, yeah, what's Duke Nukem? Oh, that's a 1990s computer game.
Close.
Okay. Duke Kaboom. Yes, which is obviously based on the 1970s toy, Evel Knievel toy.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly. So, is that good?
Is he good?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's good. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I'd say that it's all good all around.
All right. So it's not the tie because it's a Queetrel.
A Queetrel.
It's Queetrel. A fourth. It's not a fourth sequel, is it? It's a third sequel.
A trequel.
Fourth film.
Yeah, it's the fourth film in the series. And I feel like it works really well. It puts the characters in a new position they haven't been in before. Pushes the boundaries of what the animation could do. It's really beautiful. Especially, there's a scene at the beginning, like right at the very beginning, where it's raining and there's leaves and stuff. And some of it just looks like it's real life.
Wow.
Which is crazy. So, big ups to all the animators at Pixar.
Animationers
at Pixar. They did a good job. Woody and Buzz and everything are good in it. There's some other new characters. There's
and it's the return of Bo Peep as well.
Mm-hmm.
She was only in the first one, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah, which I didn't realise. I thought she was in them all. I don't know why.
It explains why she disappears. And it's an interesting story. This half of it's in an antique shop. The other half is in a fairground. It's kind of funny. I laughed twice, I think.
That's quite good for you, because you're quite stoic.
Shut up.
Miserable git.
I laugh all the time. I laughed at the start of this show.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I enjoyed it, and I recommend it to everyone.
Every single person in the world. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So that's Toy Story 4, and that is what we've been reading and what we've been watching all of this week. That was Nick of the Bad Seeds with And He Wants You.
Film news.
Film news. Film news. Film news. Film news. Marvel, DC and Star Wars. Blade Runner, E.T. and Jaws. Jurassic Park with dinosaurs. My faith film is Ghost, What's Yours? Star Trek, Air Bud, Avatar. Pixar films including Cars. Indie films from Zanzibar. The theme song's over. Au revoir.
It's film news for the first time in years. Actually, we did it last week.
Yeah.
It's film news, where we look at five pieces of film news and tell you whether we think they're good, bad, or somewhere in the middle.
You always say that, but that's not what happens at all.
The first time we did film news, that's what we did. We gave it a good or a bad. Like,
we're not going to do that ever again. We haven't done that ever again, so we're not going to
do
that.
Let's do it this week.
Let's
Come
just
on.
Talk about it.
Gary Oldman.
Go on.
Gary Oldman is playing Herman Mankiewicz in a biopic by David Fincher.
Right, so David Fincher, obviously director, who did, do you know? Fight Club. Mm-hmm. Zodiac.
It's a really familiar name.
Seven. Yeah, do I need to go on?
Who the hell is Herman Mankiewicz?
Well, go on, Google him. So Gary Oldman, obviously the very famous actor in lots of films. Tinker Tailor Soldier, Sailor, Sid and Nancy, millions of stuff. So quite exciting. The interesting thing about it is it's going to be on Netflix again, which is where Mr. Fincher seems to have resided, which he did obviously Love, Death and Robots, and he did that Mindhunter series as well. So, I wonder if he's going to do any cinema releases again, or he's just going to, just stick it out at Netflix. Interesting. So go on then, who is Herman Mankiewicz?
He's an American screenwriter.
Was an American screenwriter.
Yeah, that's what I said.
And what did he write? His famous one?
Citizen Kane.
There you go. All right.
And The Wizard of Oz.
All right, okay. I didn't know that, but yes.
He looks nothing like Gary Oldman.
Other way around, but
Gary Oldman looks nothing like him.
Yeah, but he also looks nothing like Winston Churchill, does he?
What do you mean?
Gary Oldman looks nothing like Winston Churchill.
Has he played Winston Churchill in the past?
Yes, he played Churchill, yeah.
When?
In The Darkest Hour. Very recently.
Yeah.
And go on, have a look at a picture of that.
Stop asking me to Google things. It's not good radio.
It's fine because it gets you information. That's what Google does, doesn't it? It helps you, stupid people,
You were just saying
there
before.
Look, that's Gary Oldman. Does he look like Winston Churchill there?
Does it even look like Gary Oldman?
No, he doesn't look like Gary Oldman. There you go. So one would assume that there will be some prosthetics involved and some makeup effects.
I don't believe it. That's
and he can
Gary
look
Oldman.
Like Herman
that's not Gary Oldman.
Mankiewicz. All right.
It can't be.
There you go. The magic of television and film. Amazing. Anyway, does it say when this is going to be appearing on Netflix? Is it in a year's time or anything like that? Or is it just in development?
Scheduled to start filming in November.
All right. Okay. So, yeah, it will be definitely happening then. Does it say whether it's a series or is it a one-off? I assume it'll be a one-off. Why do you assume that? Because it seems rather flimsy to be an entire series based on one person who's written a couple of famous films. Unless he's had an incredibly interesting life, but I would have thought they'd base that around a couple of people, wouldn't they, really?
Yeah, pretty sure it's a film.
Yeah, I would have think so, too.
Or a one-off, as you said.
A one-off, that's right. Okay, so that's the new David Fincher starring Gary Oldman. What else have you got for me there, someone?
This is from the new Star Wars film. Star Wars film, and it's called The Rise of Skywalker. And they've revealed the design of a brand new stormtrooper called the Sith Trooper.
All right. I don't like the name, but I do like the look. Oh, bright red.
Yeah, it's
rather
very
than
cool.
Blood red it is.
It's got grooves on it and stuff.
Yeah, it's quite cool. If you want to check that out, I mean, should we share that on one of our pages on our social media things? I think we should probably do that.
I reckon
people don't have to look for it.
I reckon what's going on here, it's going to be the same as what they did with like the flame troopers and stuff like that.
It'll be in
one background shot.
Mm-hmm. And then it'll make lots of new toys.
You'll never see it. Like with The Force Awakens, they sent, because we know what this looks like from the toys. They sent for all the toys and stuff. Whichever the company is, Hasbro, made all the toys for all the characters in The Force Awakens. And some of them ended up being cut. So there's toys of General Zuvio. And Varmint.
Well, they have form in that as old Star Wars because that happened with the very, very first one when Kenner produced the very, very first Star Wars toys. They did a Boba Fett one, and of course, he was cut from the only scene he was in the first film.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, they've got form for that, they've done it all the time, every single film, probably. Start with that. That's worth a fortune, that Boba Fett, because it was only limited release.
Let me guess. Did you have it?
No. Oh. No, I did not.
Did you have any other rare ones?
Yeah, we had Yoda from Empire. I had the original Luke Skywalker. It was the very first one I bought in 1977. Uncle Biggs bought Darth Vader, and I bought Luke Skywalker. And they had the push-out lightsaber from their arm.
And
they were 99p each.
And Grandma Biggs gave them to charity.
Everything, all our stuff from when we were kids, yes. There you go.
She's listening.
It looks
now.
Interesting. It looks interesting, doesn't it? Bright red.
Yeah.
Quite like it.
Interesting. Very... It reminds me of the Praetorian Guards.
Oh, yeah. I see that.
From The Last Jedi.
Yeah, I could see that.
So maybe they're going to patrol around Kylo Ren? Maybe even the Knights of Ren?
Maybe. We're obviously going to be hanging around some kind of Sith, aren't they? So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Sith... There's not been any Sith in this new film. And there's... In this new series, have there?
Well, what's it, isn't he?
Kylo Ren?
No. The Emperor.
The Emperor's not in it.
Oh, right.
But
he died in the last
one. He laughed in the newest trailer.
Hmm.
Maybe he'll be in this. Maybe these are going to be his guards.
Maybe.
Ooh.
Maybe.
Maybe the Sith are coming back. Maybe. It's going to be the revenge of Sith.
He'll take the helmet off and he's got a red face underneath.
Yeah.
And pointy blobs on his head.
It's Darth Maul.
Darth Maul.
Everyone's favourite. He's got a cool design, but he wasn't
in a terrible film.
Yeah.
There you go. Give me one more bit of news, Cocker.
One more?
Yeah, then we'll have a bit songish.
Good call. So, your mate.
Oh, yeah, who's my mate?
Dexter Fletcher.
All right, yeah, okay, somebody I've spoke to on social media.
Yeah,
a
but
times,
you're the
yeah.
one who says he's your friend. Every time
Facebook
you meet someone
friends.
Once. Every time you meet some filmmaker once, you're like, oh, they're my best mate.
Yeah, then yeah, high five Dexter next time I see him. So all right, yeah, anyway, so Dexter Fletcher, who, of course, was a very famous actor to begin with and now has directed some very famous and successful films, last of which was, of course, Rocket Man. And then before that, Eddie the Eagle.
Does he like Taron Egerton?
Yeah, I think he must do, because he works with him a lot.
So, in a way, you're best friends with Taron Egerton.
That's right, we're all hanging out and buddies together.
You and Taron Egerton.
I imagine he'll probably end up in this one, because the news is that Dexter Fletcher is directing the third in the series of Sherlock Holmes films with Robert Downey Jr. and Jude Law as Holmes and Watson.
Don't you dislike these films?
I don't think they're much good because, but the reason I don't like them is not because of Downey Jr. or Jude Law, who I like very much. It's because of the director of the first two, who was, do you know?
It's, what's his face?
Flash Bang Wallop. Correct.
What's his name?
Go on, you can do it. He did. He did Snatch. He did Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
What's
he did that
name?
Terrible Arthur.
I know. I know exactly who it is, and I knew from the beginning.
Guy Ritchie.
Yeah, that's him.
There you go.
I had him in my mind.
But you couldn't get him in your mouth.
Couldn't think of his name.
So Guy Ritchie. So although Dexter Fletcher has worked with Guy Ritchie on two of those films I just said as an actor, so hopefully, I mean. It won't have rubbed off him, and he feels the need to do it in the style of Guy Ritchie. Let's hope he does it in the style of Dexter Fletcher, and we have singing and dancing. He likes a bit of musicals, doesn't he?
Oh, that would be cool. Could you imagine?
Yeah, well, I bet Downey Jr. would be up for it.
Mm. I haven't seen either of the first two.
Hugh Jackman in it as well.
And A Game of Shadows.
That's very good, yes.
I didn't even know there was a second one.
Mm. It's very similar to the first one. Yeah. Not much difference.
A real, real good Sherlock Holmes film is Holmes and Watson with...
that's irony.
You know, there's a scene in that film where Watson lactates.
Oh, God.
There's a scene where they kill the Queen and they hide her in a like a suitcase.
Sounds hilarious.
What about Sherlock Gnomes?
I'm sure that's good too.
Sequel to Romeo and Juliet.
There have been a lot of adaptations. The best televisual adaptation, of course, is the Benedict Cumberbatch version of Sherlock, which of course brings it up
good
to modern day.
With Martin Freeman.
Which is very, very good.
As the
They did two series, two mini series, and they're brilliant. And the best film version, of course, is the legendary Basil Rathbone. There you go.
Basil Brush.
O-M-H-I. Oh, no, that's not right, is it?
What about M-O-B-Y?
Do it. That was Moby with Natural Blues. We are halfway through film news.
We're actually not. We're 3/5 of the way through.
Okay, well, thank you for that maths.
Mm-hmm. Big maths.
So give me some more news then in the film.
John the Churro is in the nice little Spanish baked snack.
That's a burrito.
Like a fried...
burrito.
Nah, that's Mexican.
Churro.
A churro is like a...
Oh,
a
churro.
Like a cross prism.
And they're
fried and they've got a piss load of sugar on them.
Yeah.
And they've got chocolate on them sometimes.
Anyway, what are we talking about? John Turturro is... This is exciting news for Big Lebowski fans because he is reprising the Jesus character from the Big Lebowski. Does it say if it is a one-off film or if it is a series? Does it say? Or is it just appearing?
It's a film.
It's going to be centred on the dude's creepy bowling nemesis, Jesus Quintana, has not had an easy time finding a lane while the sequel phobic Coen brothers kept their distance. Turturro is going to shoot and complete the film in New York.
What do you mean going to? He did it back in 2016 under the title Going Places. He's already done it.
All right, but it's just not found a distributor.
It has now.
Oh, Well, it's now called Jesus Rolls.
It's set for release in early 2020.
Fantastic. Sounds a bit weird, doesn't it?
I didn't like The Big Lebowski.
No, you're weird.
I thought it was okay. I was expecting it to be more, because I've heard a lot about it.
Well, that's the problem, isn't it? When I think it's just because it's much loved and people overhype things, don't they?
Mm-hmm. It was okay. I didn't hate it. It was perfectly serviceable, but I was expecting more.
Unbelievable. Anyway, so I'll look forward to that. That's quite interesting. Okay, we'll shall see.
We do love a bit of... Oh, it's got Bobby Cannavale in. I'm pretty sure he's from Chef.
Oh, yeah. Audrey Tautou as well. Just go back. Audrey Tautou, who is Amelie herself, and Susan Sarandon. Ooh.
That's crazy.
That's quite a decent cast.
This guy wasn't really in the film much, was he?
No, he was very... He was almost... He had one scene and a flashback, mm-hmm. and that was it. And he wasn't a very nice character.
He was like a jokey
guy. He was a nonce.
Was he?
Yes. Do you not remember?
I hate nonces, personally. Yeah.
And he was also not very nice.
Why is he a fan favourite character, then?
I think because he's so horrible. People go,
like
oh.
Joker.
Yeah, there
people,
you go.
People really like him because he's... He's not a nonce, but he's still pretty horrible.
Yeah, okay. Joker the nonce. Okay, what have you got for a final bit of film news for me, someone, please?
So next week, we might do a special episode of the Papa Big Show.
All right, why is that?
Because it's San Diego Comic Con, and that place is absolutely packed
with
nerds.
Film
news.
All right.
And trailers, of course.
Okay.
So I thought we'd... maybe make some predictions on what trailers we'll be going to see.
Ah, right, yeah, because this is the place where they tend to premiere huge things, mm-hmm. don't they, in the nerd world. So it will be superhero or sci-fi related.
Yes.
Yes, or even comic book related.
Yes.
Which may not necessarily be sci-fi. Oh, yeah, and it can be TV and it can be film or it could be anything, or game related, couldn't it, as well?
Yes.
So it's all to do with that. Oh, go on, you have a first dib then.
My first guess.
Yeah.
Is that there's going to be a trailer for The Mandalorian, a brand new Disney Plus Star Wars show.
Okay.
With Jon Favreau. I think there's going to be a trailer for that.
All right. Well, I think there'll also be another Disney Plus one on there for Falcon and Winter Soldier.
We haven't started filming that yet.
Don't care. I'll still do a little teaser. It'll be a feather and a shiny arm.
Yeah.
Like that. There you go. And
you can't
go,
really
coming soon.
That. You can't really do that if the character's existing.
Okay.
If it was like Black Panther.
All right, so there won't
where
be that
do
then.
The claw,
oh, Black Panther 2. That might be on there.
Maybe.
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 What about another Marvel one? Doctor Strange 2.
I don't think they're going to do any trailers for anything other than Black Widow. Maybe a teaser for The Eternals.
All right.
But I think they're going to do, back in 2015, right before Age of Ultron, they released their entire slate all the way up to now.
But they're not going to do that now.
Infinity War Part 2, as it was called back then. I think what they're going to do is they're going to do something similar.
But with all the TV stuff.
But with the other films that haven't been announced yet.
Oh, I know. I think they're just going to push their TV show because they need to... There's going to be a big investment in that.
But slate right now, in
TV
terms
stations,
of the films,
should I say.
Is, other than next year, which is Black Widow and Eternals...
There's nothing.
There's Black Panther 2, probably. Doctor Strange 2, probably. Guardians of the Galaxy 3, probably. They need to announce, oh, we're doing Moon Knight. They need to announce...
Well, maybe they will, maybe they won't.
We're doing Mort the Dead Teenager.
Okay. Devil Dinosaur and Moon Boy.
Yeah.
What about DC then? What are they going to... Surely there'll be something for Wonder Woman.
And something for Joker. I'd say that's going to be... DC aren't at San Diego Comic Con.
Why not?
Because... They're not there.
Why not? I don't understand.
Like the DC film... company.
Yeah. Warner Brothers.
I know, but the section of Warner Brothers that make the DC films aren't at San Diego Comic Con this year.
Well, that seems like a bit of a missed opportunity, doesn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. Wonder Woman isn't out for another year. Joker's already got a trailer.
All right, well, let's leave the big two out of it. What else?
The big two is in those two.
Yeah.
There's lots of new indie comic book stuff.
Yeah, you know, like a what's he called? Hellboy or something
no,
like that?
No, I'm talking indie, not the third biggest comic company.
But they were small to begin with, and then they become big films. That's what I'm talking about.
I'm talking about that Netflix has purchased the entire works of Mark Millar, so maybe there'll be a new Kick-Ass. I don't know. I've forgotten what else he's done.
No idea.
There was recently news that someone has acquired the rights to do a Paper Girls TV series, something that's been
on my list for a while. I've heard of that actually. Yeah.
I think it's time travel about a group of girls who do the paper rounds, and they end up traveling through time.
Oh, that sounds good.
Like it's kind of like Stranger Things in that way.
Well, it sounds right on Netflix straight then, doesn't it?
So there's lots.
Netflix Stranger Things 4. Will that get announced?
Nah. Maybe 2020 Comic Con.
Right.
And then there'll probably be like Lord of the Rings, Apple TV stuff.
Of course, yes. The Lord of the Rings series.
Yeah.
That's going to be the most expensive television series ever made.
Budget of about $1 billion or something.
Absolutely ludicrous, and obviously they're just banking on it because of Game of Thrones success, and obviously that's finished. So there'll be a huge void of these billions of people gagging for dragons and goblins and orcs and things, and they're going to think, right, let's just make this right, and we can get it. It's already got the right source material, and everybody's perfectly au fait with it.
There'll probably be some new comic books announced. I'm assuming that the new Slight of X-Men comics is going to be announced because they're kind of revamping it. The first big revamp in a while. I'm quite excited for that.
Okay. And what about Sun 2's favourite? The toys, the pops?
Oh, yeah, the Funko Pops.
Are there any kind of special pops that might be announced? They always do one of those, don't they?
They do exclusives.
Yeah.
But it's not like, they do one exclusive for Comic-Con. They do about six for each shop that's at Comic-Con.
Oh, right.
So there's...
They're not that exclusive,
Barnes & Noble exclusive, Entertainment Earth exclusive.
Right, okay.
So they are really rare, though.
Right, how rare?
You can only get them at the shops around the time of Comic-Con or actually at Comic-Con at the stalls.
And are they more expensive as well?
Yeah.
Jeez. Piece of plastic with a large head.
So that's it for this week's Papa Big Show.
Oh my word, that's gone quick.
I hope you've enjoyed it.
So do I.
If not,
tough.
Well, make sure to tune in every day.
Yeah, we'll find out if our predictions are right for next week or San Diego Comic Con.
Yeah,
or if you've
got
any predictions, then send them to us here at Papa Bigs.
Not to mention Disney live action trailers as well. For The Lady and the Tramp.
Oh, yeah.
I'm excited for that.
Okay. There'll be other ones as well, won't there? Because they've got a whole shocking load of them.
Yeah.
They're going to just do every single Disney film ever.
Yeah, don't forget you can listen to the Papa Big Show on a podcast form.
That's right. Or you can listen every single day of the week on ursas.co.uk.
Yes, that's radio.co.uk.
That's what I didn't say. At 7 a.m. 5 p.m.
We're going to leave you with the Sex Pistols.
Yes. Sung by the late Malcolm McLaren. Cover of a Max Bygraves song, Because You Need Hands. Say goodbye, number one.
Yeah.
Bye.